You have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 as we go through the book of Matthew chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So many things are happening around us in the world. Do you see what's happening in the Middle East? Russia, Damascus, and Iran. Exact players on the field in Ezekiel 38. Let's wait and see what happens. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready to meet the Lord? He's right at the door. You know, I just heard the other day, people say, well, he's knocking at the door. He's got his hand on the doorknob right now. He's going to open up that door and bring us home to be with him. Are you ready? I hope you are. But listen, while we're here, a lot of things are happening around us. A lot of things are happening that will distract us from the truth and the King. Our eyes will be all over the place about this thing and that person, this event. And sometimes we get depressed and we get down and we lose sight of the important things. And in spite of what's happening around us, Jesus here in Matthew 5 tells us what the kingdom heart, the believers in him, should look like. He looks at the believer's heart in chapter 5, and then in chapter 6 and 7, he looks at the believer's life. And it doesn't give conditions of the things that are happening around us. He doesn't say that, well, if work's going great, hey, this is how you should be, right? If your health is fine, this is what your heart should look like. No, the believer, period, the Spirit of God dwelling within you, born again Christians, he said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. You see, the kingdom's heart is the believer's heart in God's kingdom is poor in spirit, mourns for his sin, is meek and humble, hungers for the thirst of righteousness. He is merciful. He is pure in heart, not talking about sinlessness, but pursuing godliness, and he is a peacemaker. These, he says, will be called the sons of God. Children reflect the traits of their parents, the traits of their fathers, the traits of those who has raised them up. Speaking of in the spiritual realm, we are reflecting our Heavenly Father. God is changing us as his sons into the image of his one son, Jesus Christ, right? We're all being transformed in the image of his son. Now, some of us have a long way to go. Just saying. I'm one of them. You laugh, but we're all there, right? We're not who we were. God's still working in us each and every day. Each situation is an opportunity to glorify God. If you fall, if you fail, he doesn't say, ha-ha, I knew it. He says, no, come to me, get up. Just like a little baby when it starts to walk, it tobbles and then it falls. The parents don't laugh at it. Look at you, you can't walk. No, they're like our Heavenly Father, they come and they pick up their son or daughter. Come on, let me help you. Till you get strong. That's a picture of our Heavenly Father. I always thought God was after me and hated me because of my sin until we learn the scriptures, the word, the truth of our Heavenly Father. He loves us. God so loved you so much. He wants to be with you so much forever that he sent his son to die so that we could live with him. And now he tells us what the condition of our hearts should look like. That was a recap of last week's sermon. And now we enter into verses 10 and 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. For righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. How many have experienced that before? Now, it's one thing if you're acting a fool and people are saying, look at this guy, he's an idiot, you know, he calls himself a Christian. That's one thing. That's not what he's talking about here, right? Because we could all do some silly things, right, and then regret it after the fact. He's talking about those who are working and serving and loving and caring and doing the things of a Christian. And people are talking about you. Oh, look at this guy. I've been there. The Bible thumper, the Bible boy, and all these kind of things in my workplace, right? This is what he's talking about. You're going to be persecuted. But he says this, and this is amazing, in verse 12, because this is so opposite of how we think. This is just so opposite of how we think in the flesh, in the worldly way. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Of what? Well, what did he say? When they persecute you and say all kinds of things against you falsely for my sake, because you're a Christian, because you love the Lord, because you've been born again, because you speak about the love of God, and they persecute you, here's what we're supposed to do. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There's nothing new about it, right? You're not the only one who people laugh at or talk about. He did it to the prophets back then. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In this world we live in America, for the time being, I think the most persecution we may get is our feelings are hurt. Right? Oh, I told someone about it, Jesus, and they laughed at me. I'm never doing that again. Right? You want to be an evangelist? Hey, do you know the Lord? Get lost. Oh, that's it. I'm finished. And there are people that that happens to. But go to another country where they cut your hands off, or they torture you, or they imprison you, or beat you. Those things are happening around us today. And that's what happened to the prophets before us, for they persecuted the prophets. So aren't we so blessed that we're not suffering the fate to the extent that some of them did? These guys were castaways. They were outcasts of society. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. They had nothing. This is why they, in the book of Acts, they pulled together. Hey, let's bring all our goods together because we can't work. We can't do these things. And yet, here in America, we can do whatever we want. And as long as God's given me a voice and you a voice, we're going to proclaim the name of Jesus. Now we're on the airwaves with our radio station proclaiming the name of Jesus. May we never fail that calling, right? Continuously lifting up the name of the Lord. But I have to ask you this. How are you doing in that task? I mean, are you joyful in your heart in spite of what's going on around you? Yes, there's pain and suffering. Absolutely. Life is hard. But God is good and heaven is real. Amen. Life is hard here. We know that. Jesus knows that. He says that he was tempted in every way just like you and I were. He was abandoned by his friends. Those who he came to save tortured and beat him, denied him, and killed him, mocked him, laughed at him. And yet while he hung on that cross for you and me, he didn't say, man, you wait till I get back. You right there. He didn't say that. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This is the God who loves you. This is the God who loves me. And this is the God who knows when we're suffering and hurting and going through things. He's there with us. He knows the pain. He knows what it's like to lose a son, right? He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to be abandoned. He knows. And this is the God who says, I want to be with you forever. I'm here now in the Spirit to comfort you. So be happy because we're only here for a little bit of time. It's just a little blip in time. Now, we're going through Genesis and on Wednesday night, and those guys lived 800, 700, 600, 400. They lived a long time. I don't know that I'd want to live that long. You know what I mean? But things were different because sin hadn't corrupted the world to the extent it is now. You know, our bodies are only lasting a little while because of the sin nature, the physical sin nature that we were all born into. We had no choice. Like a little leaven leavens the whole lump, a little sin leavens the whole lump. And so Adam leavened the whole mankind with sin. The remedy was, is there was a price to be paid, and you know that. That was through Jesus Christ. And so they persecuted the prophets. Jesus is linking those who will follow him with the prophets of old. Christ's followers represent God's remnant who are persecuted but will be rewarded. So notice this. without exception, you are blessed. Without exception. Now, you might not feel that, you know. Like, I was watching this guy drive this car the other day, and it was just a really beautiful car, very expensive car. I'm like, man, that's pretty nice. You ever been there? Of course you have. We all have been. Especially if you're a man. You're like, man, why can't I have that? You are blessed with the attitudes of meekness and mercy and spiritual poverty and thirsting for righteousness. Listen, peacemakers. Then you, if that's you, because I was coveting the car thinking on a worldly level. And a couple years from now, that car will be a heap somewhere, right? On a spiritual level, if I am a believer, without condition, we are blessed. Oh, so happy. Peacemakers, without exception, they are assured an encounter of some type of persecution. Period. So don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. If things are going great at work, then you're going to have problems at home. Things are going great at home, you're going to have problems at work, right? You feel great today, tomorrow you got a backache. Things are going to happen. When you talk about Jesus, I love that song we sang, Jesus, we're just in the presence of the Lord. Well, the believer cringes at that name, just so you know. And the Bible says that you are the smell of death to those who are perishing. Now, how could that be? Well, that's because we're looking on a physical realm, but we don't fight against flesh and blood. But in the spiritual realm, this is what's happening. They know they're dead. Jesus goes to the demons, and they knew who he was, right? Jesus, the Son of God, have you come to persecute us before our time? They knew who he was, and yet the Christians today are like, is there really a God? Right? The demons know. They knew their end as well, what would happen to them. They knew that they would be placed in hell, eternal fire, judgment. And so, listen, you are on the opposition team. Know that. Here on this earth. You are an enemy. You're in enemy territory. You are not on the home team advantage. And when we think about that, things start to make sense. Hey, you know, you're right. You're strangers in a foreign land, so accept to be treated differently. Differently. If you're one that you want everybody to like you, you've already failed. You just might as well give up, right? Right? In pursuing that, I mean. Right? Because everybody's not going to like you. You could walk in a room, and everybody's going to have a different opinion. He's too fat. He's too short. He's too tall. He's too bald. He has too much hair. I wonder if he colors his hair. No, I don't. The closer you get, the more you'll see the gray. But you can't please everyone. So who do we please? Please God. And that happens with a surrendered life. Oh, God, here I am. Look what I've done. Oh, Lord, forgive me. But your promise is that you will lift me up and that you're with me and you would encourage me. So I want to continue to walk with you. In spite of my failures and my flaws, Lord, you promised you would be with me forever. So now help me to help other people. And we go through situations in our life. In our BC days, particularly, that now on the born-again side, the BC days activity now on the BADs, the born-again side, we can witness to other people and say, hey, I was there before. I know what that's all about. But look what God's doing today. And just imagine when we get into the heavenly places, what heaven's going to be like. So if Jesus says that you're blessed, and then because you're persecuted because of your faith for his name's sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. How many times have you been exceedingly glad? I don't really even know what that is. Right? Like, I guess if your team wins the Super Bowl, that's exceedingly glad, right? But just imagine what Jesus' perspective is. Glad, rejoice, and be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. It's not here. The nation of Israel thought that this was it, and Jesus was coming to set them free from Roman rule. And they hailed him king. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Prophesied to the very day as the Old Testament spoke. And yet, he wasn't coming to set them free from Rome. He was coming to set them free from the law of sin and death. And they missed it. And sometimes we miss it too. Sometimes, especially if you watch the televangelist, it's like God is Santa Claus. You ask and he gives, and if you want, he'll give it to you and all these other things. No, life is hard. Wouldn't you agree? And I believe it's in Hebrews. It could be in Acts. I believe it's in Hebrews. It says to no longer be going about the elementary things of God, about salvation and baptism and God, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. These are the milk. But get into the meat and potatoes of Christianity. Life is difficult. Things are happening around us. But we're spiritually mature and we need to help those around us. And the world would sit back and laugh and say, well, give up on that person. He'll never change. My parents prayed for me for years. They said that they thought I was the last of their kids that would ever get saved. Imagine that. But they never gave up. And guess what? God doesn't give up on you. I'm sure they thought about giving up, but God never gives up on you, ever. Right? He's with you, in you. He's for you. We're in a foreign land right now. We are representing the king. This is what ambassadors do. It speaks about being ambassadors in foreign lands. They come and they speak on behalf of the king. And what happens to ambassadors when the two nations go to war? They call them home. Jesus is going to call us home before the judgment falls upon this earth. Isn't that great? And so he's telling us now to be looking to the heavenly places. I haven't been looking to the heavenly places as much as I have this past year than ever before. Why? Well, we're seeing the times in front of us. And if you listen to the preachings that are going on, the messages that are going on, they're talking about eschatology, end time events, what's going to happen in the future, all over the world. So I believe that's the Spirit speaking to the pastors, the teachers, and to the body to let them know the time is here. There's a last Gentile who's going to be saved, and boop, we're out of here. Twinkling of an eye. It's not like you're going to get prepared for it, and the earth is going to shake, and oh, here it comes. Twinkling of an eye, we're gone. Bip, we're gone. Now think about this. Parents that drop their kids off at daycare in the morning and the rapture happens, and they're not raptured, they're going to go to the daycare and there's not going to be any kids there. Think about that. Think about the terror and the horror that will happen on earth because they've rejected the king. Now they'll still have a choice, and they'll be, oh, pastor, don't be talking about that stuff. That's the truth. We're mature Christians, right? So we're no longer going on about the elementary things of God, but now we're getting into the mature things of God so that we know. We can look at the signs of the times. All the players are on the field right now. And God is doing some amazing things. Don't put your trust in America's forces. Don't put your trust in the president. Put your trust in the Lord. So in Ezekiel 38, it speaks about Gog and Magog war, and it speaks about these very players that are on the field in conflict right now. Russia wants to take over, and Iran is supporting Syria. They're just a puppet now to get that land. That land surrounds Israel. And those nations will come up against Israel. Now, this war doesn't say when it's going to happen. So we don't know when this war is going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. But I believe, and others believe as well, that the church is raptured, all this war happens, or the war begins to happen, the church is raptured, and there's chaos in the Middle East against Israel, that's when the Antichrist comes in and makes peace, the peace treaty, right? Well, next month, we're going to move our capital to Jerusalem, which is going to be a push for the Jewish people to start building the temple. Now, we don't know this is all facts, but we're looking. And this is what it looks like, right? Could it be? Maybe. 20 years ago, Chuck Smith was saying, oh, there's no way the Lord's not coming in the next 5 to 10 years. Well, he hasn't come yet, and thank God, because some of you might not have been saved. Right? God still has a plan and a purpose. However, we look at the signs and the times that are before us. And so what should we do then? Well, Chuck Colson, after he went to prison, he was one of Nixon's attorney generals and counselors. He got saved there. And he started Prison Fellowship, which is an amazing ministry. He's gone to be with the Lord, but his ministry continues today. And he wrote a book, Now How Shall We Live? Or What Next? Like, we get saved, what happens? What do we do now? Well, we go through Scripture, and God tells us this is how we're supposed to live. This is what our lives are to look like. He's warning us and encouraging us, when persecution comes upon you, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. How many of you have done that? Yeah, some of you may. Yeah. And there are some Christians, there would be no proof at all that they were Christians. Like, if the government came in and arrested you because you're a Christian, where would the proof be in your life? Right? I'm just giving a hypothetical. Oh, yeah, man, I'm a Christian. Where's the proof in your life? Well, persecution is certainly one of the proofs, right? And he tells us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. You will be slandered. You will be enemies. You will be misunderstood. 2 Timothy 3 tells us that. Well, let's turn there. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3. I didn't plan on going there, but we're going there. 2 Timothy 3. Speaks about persecution, doesn't it? Second Timothy 10 says, but you have... Well, let's go to verse 1. We can't skip that. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. It doesn't say there's going to be a revival. Does it? It doesn't say everything's going to go great, your church is going to boom, it's going to grow. It says there'll be perilous times. For men will be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, unslanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And so we go into verse 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose and faith, long-suffering, love and perseverance. Persecutions and afflictions happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, out of them all the Lord delivered me. And so Paul is showing the persecutions that he has gone through, we will go through too, to some extent or another. Don't be surprised, but be joyful. Be so happy, because Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. It says, rejoice and be. That word be is a state of continuum. Continuously be happy. Why? We're not looking at the earthly plane. We're looking in the heavenly realm, right? Because we're going to be there soon. So let's pick it up. 13 and 16, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown and trampled underfoot. And you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus compares his followers, kingdom heart, to salt and to light. You are the salt of the earth. You. Did you get that part of it? You. He doesn't say the pastor or the church. He says you, personally, singularly. Salt promotes thirst. That's why, you know, if you go to a restaurant or something like that, or if you've ever been into the bars, they give you peanuts and chips to make you thirsty so you buy more drinks. Restaurant foods are very salty, so that's where they're making their money. And so salt promotes thirst, and in the salt of the earth, we should be making those around us thirsty for the living water of Jesus Christ. That happens by joy and peace in our heart and telling people about the good news. You know, there's something about you. Something about you. Things are going weird. You know, you're just calm. Why are we so different? That's what Wayne Huizinga Jr. asked the colonel when he met him. There's something about you that's different. And what did the colonel do? He pulled out a Bible. And he said, there's a hole in your heart. And all these ventures that you have and all these things that you're pouring into your heart, it's just a hole. It's just fallen out. It's never been meant to fill it. Only Christ can fill that hole in your heart. And so this is the good news to the people of the world, that the Savior has come. We're only here for a little while. We'll be with him. He says your salt. Salt also preserves. Before refrigeration, they would cover meats, fish, and poultry with salt. So it would kill bacteria and prevent decay. Salt in ancient history was a symbol of friendship as well. But think about that. That which now restrains the believer, the soul or the spirit in the believer, restraining evil upon the earth, when that's taken away, then the Antichrist will come. Think about that. If we're salt right now, the believer is preserving or restraining evil on the earth right now. You take away the believers, the whole world will go after Israel, right? And that's what's going to happen, but God's going to protect them. So right now, we are promoting thirst for people to come to us. We're promoting, or come to Christ, we're promoting preserving the decay of things around us. And when we speak about the rapture, when we are taken away, things will significantly change. When you put salt, listen to this, when you put salt into the dough of the bread, it controls the fermentation rate of the yeast. It controls the fermentation rate of the yeast. And so the same thing with the believers now in the world, we're controlling this decay for a season until we're taken away. Now, when we look at things on a spiritual realm, that makes sense, right? God's using us. It should even more cause us to do more for the Lord, or want to do more for the Lord. And what do? Well, we love people, right? Oh, I serve the Lord. What do? I lock myself in the room for 24 hours a day and I pray. Well, I don't know about that, right? The monks and those guys go up into the mountains and whatever. I'm just saying. We serve God, listen, by serving people. We love God by loving other people as Christ has loved us. And so there's that loving kindness that falls out of us, and it's salt. And we're light. Light illuminates what you cannot see in the dark. And so those who do not believe in Christ on the spiritual realm are blinded by the darkness. And we're supposed to illuminate the truth of the word, illuminate the love of God in those around us so that they then can see. Salt also enhances flavors such as savory notes, and it can balance sweetness and help suppress the flavors such as bitterness. Same thing with us, right? We're peacemakers. We want to encourage other people to continue on, right? We can enhance flavors and suppress other flavors. Hey, you know, you don't want to be that angry all the time, right? So there's things that God has put in us that then manifest himself outward to encourage the people around us. And he says, let that light, your light, the light that he has put in you, let it shine so that when they see your good works, when they see your life. Now, we've talked about this, Andrew, you and I, right? When people say, man, if God can save you, there's hope for me, right? Man, if he could do that in your life, he could do that with me, right? I was never a student. I hated high school. I couldn't wait to get out. C's and D's. Yeah, man, I'm passing. You know, that was, I'm out. It didn't matter to me what I got as long as I'm moving on. I'm on the next level. And I had never read an entire book in my whole life until I went to seminary school. Seminary school, they handed me three books like this and said, here, read these, and you got to do a report on each one of them. So I had to become a student. But it wasn't a have to. Listen, don't miss this. It was a want to. I wanted to know more about God. So what did it look like? It was denying myself. We had to listen to the entire Bible on audio and do a report on each of the cassettes. Now, some of you may have heard this, some of you may not. We got some new people in the church. So that was like 375 cassette tapes. And you know, Chuck Smith spoke like this, and so if you're going to listen to 300 tapes at this rate, it's going to take you about 4 years. So I got this cassette player that had variable speed, and I put on the highest speed, and he spoke like a chipmunk. He was talking like this the whole time. So I would sit down on a Sunday and listen to 10 tapes and do notes. My wife would come in, and she said, what are you listening to? Because she couldn't understand it, right? But I got used to listening to him, literally a chipmunk. And he talked like this, and oh, the Lord's coming back next week. That doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen. That's the Lord leading you, saying, hey, I want you to get a little more information. I'm going to help you along the way. Things are going to be difficult. Improvise, adapt, and overcome. He didn't say that. That's a military term. I wasn't in the military, but I like it. And so we begin to learn. But I have to tell you this. When it speaks about persecution all along the way, Satan was throwing darts at me. Who do you think you are? If they only knew what you thought, you're not going to pass. All these things. You ever been there? And I said, Lord, if you're going to get me, I mean, if you sent me here, you got to get me through. So it took me 6 years. Because I was going part-time and extra part-time and skipping semesters. 6 years to get a 2-year degree. And then I said, all right, Lord, now what? If you want me to teach, have somebody ask me. And so a pastor knocked on my door 2 weeks later, the Nazarene church, and says, hey, I'm going away. I have nobody to fill in for me. Will you do it? And so God answers prayers. He prepares us. Are you willing to take those steps and make those sacrifices? I'm not lifting up myself. I'm just saying, listen, there's a preparation time that has to happen. We grow up at it and get out of high school, or maybe if you've gone to college and I want to be a millionaire. No, there's a long way to go in the workplace before you ever get there, and you might not. But there's a growing process. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a teacher. Okay. Let's walk together. No, I got it. I've had people come here, hey, God sent me here, and all right, I want to help, pastor, what can I do? I'm like, I don't know, what do you think you want to do? Oh, I want to be a pastor, all right, well, go change the toilet paper. Oh, no, God sent me here to teach. And they leave. There's a learning process. Well, this is the learning process we're doing this morning. Because we may have forgotten, we may have read this before, I'm sure we have, of course we have. But now we need this reminder, my heart in his kingdom, oh, this is it. We need to be reminded, right? Because so many things around us draws our attention away from God. And he's saying, you're salt, you're light, you're here for a purpose. Remember, if we get saved, let's have the funeral the next day. Let's get out of here. But that's not it. He wants now for us to influence other people. And what is the purpose? Well, to glorify our Father in heaven. What was that? To glorify our Father in heaven. Not to build up my kingdom. I don't have a kingdom. To lift up the name of the Father. That when people around me say, hey, you know, there's something different about you. That I don't say, yeah, I'm pretty good, aren't I? Because there's those out there too. What we should, thank God, man. Thank the Lord. I can't lift up myself. I have nothing to lift up. I can do nothing apart from him. He gives us a platform. That platform may just be a neighbor to somebody. It may be an influence with some people around you. It may be a mother or a father. That's your platform. To lift up your family, to be that salt and that light, to encourage and teach. It may be in the church. It may be in a workplace. Wherever God has planted you, He wants to use you. And it's important to remember the context when we read Scripture. The religious people were judging Jesus, and Jesus is now judging the religious system. Jesus assumed religious, the Jews assumed, listen, religious observance was the entrance into heaven. We do all these things, right? Look at us. Pharisees would stand on the corner and make all these great prayers. Jesus gives this story in Luke, I believe it's chapter 13, about the rich man and Lazarus, right? Where he goes down into this into Hades, and on one side there's a gulf, and you know the story. And he says this in front of the Pharisees, and you could just see them ripping their clothes, saying, blasphemy, how could this be? Because they thought, if you were rich and important, you were blessed by God. And if you were poor, you were cursed by God. And Jesus is saying, that's not the entrance into heaven. And so in context, the Jews thought because they observed the law or they came from the lineage of Abraham that they were guaranteed to come into heaven. Keeping the Mosaic law for salvation. 248 do's and 365 don'ts. 613 laws. The bottom line, you can't earn your way into heaven. And Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets there but me. But you're there now. You have the key to the kingdom. That's the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. And that's the good news in your life. Now go bring that good news, listen, to others around you. Bring that good news to the lost. Be that light in someone's life. Be that salt in someone's life. Don't be the castor oil that's bleh. So young people don't even know what that is. Just nasty tasting stuff. Be that sugar. Hey, it's okay. Listen, it's okay. We'll get through it. You fell? It's okay. We'll get through it. God's not casting you out of the kingdom because you fell. Matter of fact, He's calling you back into the kingdom. Amen? Father, thank You for Your word today. Lord, as we leave here now, let us remember who we are in You and that Your Spirit dwells within us. Empower us today, Father. Be with us. We know some of us face difficulties ahead of us. Lord, be with us. And You said You would. Encourage us and strengthen us that we would give You glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.